चैप्टर नंबर 15 एंटाइटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द किंगडम ऑफ गॉड, टेक्स्ट नंबर 30। तन्वीक्ष्यवात रसनांश्चतुरः कुमारान् वृद्धान् तदाश्रवस वयसो विदितात्मतत्त्वान् वित्रेण चास्खयताम् अतदर्हणां स्तौ तेजो विहस्य भगवद् प्रतिकूलशीलौ तान्वीक्ष्यवातरशनांश्चतुरः कुमारान् वृद्धान् दशार्धवयसो विदितात्मतत्त्वान् वत्रे वेत्रेण चाखलयताम् अतदर्हणां स्तौ तेजो विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूलशीलौ तान्वीक्ष्यवातरशनांश्चतुरः कुमारान् वृद्धान् दशार्धवयसो विदितात्मतत्त्वान् वेत्रेण चाखलयताम् अतदर्हणां स्तौ वेत्रेण चास्खलयताम् अतदर्हणां स्तौ तेजो विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूलशीलौ। चतुरः कुमारान् वेत्रेण चास्खलयताम् अतदर्हणां स्तौ तेजो विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूलशीलौ। वृद्धान् दशार्धवयसो विदितात्मतत्त्वान् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The four boy sages who had nothing to cover their bodies but the atmosphere looked only 5 years old, even though they were the oldest of all living creatures, and had realized the truth of the self. But when the porters, who happened to possess a disposition quite unpalatable to the Lord, saw the sages, they blocked their way with their staffs, despising their glories, although the sages did not deserve such treatment at their hands. Purport. The four sages were the first-born sages, sons of Brahma. Therefore, all other living entities, including Lord Shiva, are born later and are therefore younger than the four Kumaras. Although they looked like five-year-old boys and traveling naked, the Kumaras were older than all living creatures and had realized the truth of the self. Such saints were not to be forbidden to enter the kingdom of Vaikuntha. But by chance, the doormen objected to their entrance. This was not fitting. The Lord is always anxious to serve sages like the Kumaras, but in spite of knowing this fact, the doormen astonishingly and outrageously prohibited them from entering. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಾ ರಘುನಾಥನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಾ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮೋ ಹರೇ ರಾಮೋ ರಾಮ ರಾಮೋ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ Hare Krishna. So this verse describes how these four Kumaras were not allowed into the kingdom of God by Jaya and Vijaya. Tan viksha vatarashanam chaturah kumaran. Vatarashanan means naked. There is no cloth. Right? Chakvartipada says, generally they had no clothing, but they actually had some bells as some decorations, right? That was the clothing of four Kumaras. So, Vriddhan, Dashardha Vayaso, Viditatma Tattvan. So there is Dasha Ardha, half of 10, that is 5. So Vriddhan, although they are very aged, they are the first sons that came out of Brahmaji, and they were older than every living entity in the creation. But they are appearing as Dasha Ardha Vayaso, just 5-year-old boys. Then Viditatma Tattvan, they know the Atma Tattva, they know the truth about oneself. Which 5-year-old boy will know the Atma Tattva? But four Kumaras know. So when they entered, Vetrena Chaskhalayatam Atadarhanam Stau. So with Vetra, with stick, Vetra means stick or staff. So with staffs, these two doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijaya, they stopped, they blocked their entrance. You cannot enter. They said that. Tejo vihasya bhagavat pratikula shilo. And this act of Jaya and Vijaya is described by Sukadeva Goswami as bhagavat pratikula shilo. Nature opposite to Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the master of the spiritual world, he had a different mentality. Bhagavat pratikula shilo, and these doorkeepers are exhibiting a character or mentality which is opposite to the mentality of their master. That is the main theme of this verse. So Prabhupada very nicely pointed out, the Lord is always anxious to serve the sages like the four Kumaras. But in spite of knowing this fact, knowingly, these doorkeepers knew the mentality of their master, but astonishingly and outrageously, they prohibited four Kumaras from entering. So this is the theme of the current verse. So Jaya and Vijaya are servants of Vishnu, and Vishnu is their master. So before even entering into the discussion of this whole episode and the mood that Jaya and Vijaya are exhibiting, so first we will discuss the weight or the glory of being a servant of a master, of a glorious master. So Jaya and Vijaya are servants of Vishnu, and this position of servant is such a glorious position that several great personalities, millions of great personalities are aspiring for such a position. If you see, Lord Chaitanya, he is the Supreme Lord, right? He is Krishna himself. He descended in the form of a devotee, in the form of a servant, right? So he respects Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya happens to be the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and Ishwar Puri is also disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Ishwar Puri, right? So then Ishwar Puri and Advaita Acharya, they are like God brothers. They are on equal level. So Lord Chaitanya respects Advaita Acharya as good as his spiritual master. He says, I am your servant. You are in the position of my spiritual master. I am your servant. And Advaita Acharya's mood is, no, no, no. You are my master. I am your servant. Chaitanya Radas, Mora Chaitanya Radas. That is his mentality. Advaita Acharya. Then, why this is so? Why Advaita Acharya is none other than Mahavishnu. Combination of Mahavishnu and Shiva. In fact, he is the source of Mahavishnu. Right? So, although he is in that position, so he is like an incarnation. Right? Non-different from Krishna. And Krishna is Supreme Lord himself. They both are fighting with each other. Who will be the servant? We both are servants. They are both are claiming the position of being servant. So, Krishna Dasa Abhimane Yeyananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukhanahe Tara Eka Bindu. So, Krishna Dasa Abhiman, this Abhiman of being the servant of Krishna, ye Ananda Sindhu, it is like an ocean of happiness. Koti Brahma Sukhanahe Tara Eka Bindu. So, if the position of being servant of Krishna is compared to an ocean, the happiness of being a servant of Krishna is compared to an ocean, take one drop of it. This one drop is superior to this Brahma Sukha, Koti Brahma Sukha. Brahma Sukha multiplied by 10 million times, right? That is much inferior to one drop of the happiness of being the servant of Krishna. So that is the position of being a servant of Krishna. Mother Lakshmi is aspiring for that position. Mother Lakshmi always had the opportunity to live at the chest of Krishna, Narayana. But she says, I want to serve your lotus feet. Right? She is aspiring for that position. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Sukha, then all the four Kumaras, they are all pleased with the emotion of being a servant of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu, the supreme mendicant, he is the foremost associate of Lord Chaitanya. He becomes mad in the ecstasy of being servant of Lord Chaitanya. And all the other associates of Lord Chaitanya, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Ramadas, Gadadhar, Murari, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, Vakreshwar, there are so many personalities, list of personalities that Kaviraj Goswami mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That all of them are aspiring for the position of being servant, and they are extremely happy for being in the position of a servant, right, of Lord. Krishna Premira Eka Apurva Prabhav Guru Sama Laghukeka Raya Dasya Bhav. So this Krishna Prema, the affection and love towards Lord Krishna, has a very Apurva Prabhav, very significant influence, right? Very rare influence. What was that influence? Guru Sama Laghuke Karaya Dasya Bhav. It will overwhelm all the superiors, inferiors and equals with the feelings of servant. So Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, right? So Yashodamayi, Nandamaharaj and all the elderly gopas and gopis who are in Vatsalaras, they are considered to be superior to Krishna. And all the gopas, they are considered to be equals of Krishna. And there are some people who are in servitor mode, they are inferior to Krishna, right? So all of them are imbued with the feelings of servitorship. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, although they are superior to Krishna, they are in a position to accept service from Krishna, they always think that we are servants of Krishna. When Uddhava comes to Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj says, although he is the most respected elder in Vrajabhumi and he is in Shuddha Vatsalya Rasa with absolutely no feelings of Aishwarya. So when will somebody accept the position of being a servant? only if he understands the superiority of another person. My master is superior to me and I am his servant. So there is a, when somebody is in position of servant, there is a clear distinction between his position and his master's position. So servant accepts the inferiority of his position. But here Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi, they are superior to Krishna. But they have this Dasya Bhav. So this emotion of servitude is inherently there in every living entity. Whether he is a Jiva Tattva or Vishnu Tattva or Shakti Tattva, whoever, all of them are having this emotion of being a servant, emotion of servitude. And Balaramji is the source of that emotion of being a servant, right? Servitude emotion. So all the gopas are also thinking like that. All the gopis are also thinking that, like that. They are in Madhurya Rasa, but they always consider themselves as maid servants of Krishna. And all the Mahishis, queens of Dwaraka, they say, I am maid servant of Krishna. So when in Kurukshetra, all the queens of Dwaraka, they meet with Draupadi, right? So Draupadi inquired, hey, how did Krishna marry you? I want to know. So I know he did a lot of adventures to marry you, so I want to know the details. So all of them summarized how Krishna married them, and at the end they said, so finally Krishna accepted me as one of his maid servants in his house. Even Satyabhama says, right? So Krishna says that I am your das, but Satyabhama says, okay, I am his das only, dasi only. So everyone is happy, like they are ecstatic, declaring themselves as servant of Krishna. Okay, although they are superiors to Krishna. Right? This includes everyone. Baladev also, Sankarshan, Sesha, all the avatars, all the gunavatars, and all the expansions, Chaturvyuha expansions, all expansions of Krishna, they are all saying that we are servants of Krishna. That's why they are called Bhakta avatars. Right? So Krishna, that Krishna is the one master and the Lord of universe and is worthy of being served by everyone. And he descends as Lord Chaitanya. Means Krishna is non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Means Chaitanya is also is everyone's master. Everyone is Lord Chaitanya's servant also. Like that. Eka Krishna Sarva Sevya Jagata Ishwar Arayata Sabatara Seva Kanuchar. Eka Krishna, there is only one person who is Krishna. He is Sarva Sevya. He is to be served by everyone. Jagata Ishwar, he is the controller of the entire universe. Arayata Sabha Tara Sevaka Anuchar. Others are his Sevakas. Servants are Anuchars, associates. That is Krishna's position. Right? Kehamane Kehanamane Sabatan Radas. Enamane Tarahaya Sei Papenash. Some people may accept it. Kehamane. Kehanamane. Some people may not accept. I am not Krishna's servant. Somebody may say like that. Hare Krishna. Sri Radha Vrindavan Bihari ki. Jai. We are all servants of Radha Vrindavan Bihari. So keha mane, keha na mane. Whether we accept it or not, all of us are servants of Krishna only. Right? Sabataradas. Eina mane tarahaya sei papanash. If someone doesn't accept this, he will be ruined by his sinful activities only. That is the position. So that is the glory of being servant of Krishna. Now, what is the unique or essential quality of a servant? That is to be malleable by the will of their master. Right? So that is the glory of being servant. We have seen everyone wants this emotion of being servant of Krishna. And Krishna himself wants to be the servant also. He came as Lord Chaitanya, as a servant of Lord Krishna. So everyone wants that feeling of being servant. Right? That is glorious position. Right? This is aspired by millions of great personalities, including Krishna. But the inherent mood of a servant, or the default mental state of a servant, is to act according to the will of the master. But here Jay and Vijay are acting exactly opposite to the will. What is the last line? Bhagavat pratikula shilau. So they are exhibiting a shila, a character, which is Bhagavat pratikula, which is against the will of the Lord. Definitely the whole incident is orchestrated by the will of the Lord only. Right? Krishna had a desire to have a fighting. Right? So he wants to descend as Varahadeva or Lord Ram or Lord Krishna and then, you know, do some past times. So this is a part of the past time only. But we need to understand that if we see this incident totally from a divine point of view and not in from a human point of view, we cannot learn a lesson for our practical application or personal application. Right? Let's learn some application, personal application points of view. Both acharyas are commenting on this. Bhagavat Pratikula Shilavo. Prabhupada says, the Lord is always anxious to serve the sages like four kumaras. But in spite of knowing this fact, the doorman astonishingly and outrageously prohibited them from entering. Lord, they know, oh, my Lord is so favorable to Brahmanas, right? My Lord is very favorable to Brahmanas. He will be happy to receive Brahmanas. But somehow they felt, astonishingly, they felt that they should not enter. Jay and Vijay felt that four kumaras should not enter. Chakravartipad says, the kumaras did not deserve to be stopped. Ignoring their greatness, the gatekeepers thought that the boys were proud because of their Brahma Jnana. The gatekeepers, though showed natures unfavorable to the Lord, who is affectionate to the Brahmanas, right? That's how they showed nature unfavorable to the Lord. Right? Lord is affectionate to the Brahmanas, and being the servants of the Lord, they did not show affection to the Brahmanas. Means that is unfavorable nature, pratikula shila. Even the Lord's servant should not obstruct his friendliness to Brahmanas because they follow the qualities of Lord's mind. Right? They should understand the mind of the Lord. So the essential quality of a servant is to know the master's mentality or the mood of their master. So coming to this point, that Lord is very affectionate towards the Brahmanas, what is the proof? That is very much reflected in Lord's talk to the four kumaras. When Lord comes out, after the four kumaras curse Jay and Vijay, Lord will come out, right, and then see them. So they are the first point that Lord says is, Jaya and Vijaya are my attendants, and they committed an offense to you, ignoring me, right? So I am sorry for that. I approve the punishment that you have given them. Four kumaras, you cursed them, right? I approve it. They deserve it. So to me, Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality, right? Disrespecting them is actually disrespect to me only, right? So they are my servants, and after saying this, Lord says, they are my servants, please forgive me. If a servant acts against the will of the master, master has to put his bow his head down. He has to humble himself and beg forgiveness to the opposite party on behalf of his servants. So when the servant doesn't act properly, he doesn't act according to the mentality of the master has to humble himself, right? It's a black spot on the master, right? So a wrong act by servant leads people in general to blame his master only, right? So somebody came from an organization or a company, right? He did some goof up. So-and-so company's person did some goof up. So-and-so organization's person has done some goof up. So that is the talk of the people, right? Master is to be blamed. So a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all skin, like that. So that could be, there is one spot here only, but the whole skin is considered diseased, like that. And further, Lord Vishnu tells the four kumaras, yasya amruta malayasya shravana vagaha sadyah punachi jagada svapachad vikuntha soham bhavadhya upalabdha sutirtha kirti chindyam svabahu apitam pratikula vrittim. So here Vishnu is saying, anyone in this entire world, even if he is a chandala, yasya amruta amala yasha shravanavagaha, if he accepts the nectar of my qualities and my glories, right, shravanavagaha, sadya punati jagada asvapachad vikuntaha, right, he will be immediately purified, although he is a swapacha, dog eater. Even if a chandala dog eater also takes shelter of my holy name or qualities or glories, he will be purified. That is the glory. That is my glory, Lord says. Lord glorifies himself here. Right? But how does it happen? Soham bhavadbhya upalabdha sutirtha kirti. That kind of glory I have attained only by service to you. Only because of Brahmanas I have attained such glory. It's not my glory. It is the glory of Brahmanas. Right? So, now, chindyam svabahum apiva pratikula vrittim. If someone, my conduct is hostile to you, I wouldn't mind lopping off my arms. Right? If this hand has done some offense to you, I will cut it. Right? That is the respect that I give to the Brahmanas. Right? Later he says, Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renam sadya kshatakhila malam pratilabdha shilam nashrir viraktim abhimam vijahati yasya prekshalavartha itare niyaman vahanti. Lord says, charana padma pavitra renum, the glorious dust of my lotus feet, he is sadya kshata akhila malam pratilabdha shilam. I have attained such a great disposition and character, pratilabdha shilam, that with my dust particles from my lotus feet, I can completely vanquish and wipe away everyone's sinful activities. Right? All mala is cleaned by taking shelter of my dust. Krishna says, na shrir viraktim apimam vijahati yasya preksha lavartha itare niyaman vahanti. So to get a slightest glance or favor of Mother Lakshmi, greatest demigods like Brahma, Shiva, they are undergoing so many austerities, so much tapa. But Lakshmi is not at all interested in that fan following. And she is following me. Right? She is taking shelter of me. And Nashrir Viraktim Abhimam. Although I am not interested in Lakshmi, and although many people are interested in Lakshmi, she rejected all of them and then came to me. How did I attain this kind of disposition? Yat Sevaya. Because I serve the Vaishnavas. I serve the devotees. Because of my service to Brahmanas, I have attained this kind of qualities. Lord says. Then, in the next verse, Lord says that feeding Brahmanas is much more superior than feeding me through the medium of fire. I enjoy the offerings which are given to the Brahmanas more than the offerings of oblation in the sacrificial fire. He says like that. Then, Yesham Bibarmiham Akanda Vikunda Yoga Maya Vibhutibir Amalangri Rajah Kiritaihi Vipramstu Kona Vishaheta Yadarhanamba Sadhya Punati Sahachandra Lalama Lokan. So, next the Lord says, the dust of a Vaishnav is so glorious. Right? So, I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water that has washed my lotus feet, which is Ganga, Sadhya Punati Sahachandra Lalama Lokan, it can completely purify all the three worlds. And the most auspicious Shiva will become all the more auspicious by taking that water on his head. That is the glory of my lotus feet and the water that has washed my lotus feet. Such a glorious me would accept the dust of a Vaishnava on my head. That is the glory of Brahmanas. Right? All these glories Jayavijaya knew. Right? And they obstructed four Kumaras to enter Vaikuntha. This is described to be Bhagavat Pratilabdha Shilam. So, knowing very well, that's what Prabhupada is pointing out here. Lord is always anxious to serve the sages like the Kumaras, but in spite of knowing this fact, the doormen astonishingly and outrageously prohibited them from entering. So, this is because of their lack of understanding or lack of application of the understanding of the mentality of their master. Right, that made them do this. So here one example is that Jaya and Vijaya could not align themselves with the Lord's mood, Lord's mentality of worshipping the Brahmanas. Right? So different masters will have different moods and different masters will emphasize different things within the realm of devotional service only. So the malleability with the will of the master is the qualification of the servant to receive mercy. If the servant has to receive mercy, he has to be malleable by the will of the master. He has to be malleable with the mood of the master. He needs to understand what my master wants. If he cannot understand, he needs to inquire
what do you want? Okay, and whatever he tells, he has to do. That is the ideal position of a servant. Being a servant is glorious, but what is glorious there? Acting according to the will of the master is the glorious aspect, right? So, natasya kasya tapasa vidyayava na yoga virjena manishayava naivartha dharmaihi paratasvatova. What's next? Kritam vihantum tanubhrit vibhuyat. So, by any means, natasya kasya tapasa, by your tapasa, vidya, yoga, virya, balena, by any kind of means, you cannot act against the will of the Lord. Every living entity by default is a servant of Krishna, and by no means he should act against the will of Krishna. That's what is there in 5th canto. Brahmaji tells this to Priyavrat. It's Lord's will that, my dear Priyavrat, you have to enter household life. Swayambhu Manu, it is time for the Swayambhu Manu to retire from family life. So you should enter family life. You should enter the kingdom. You should become king and then rule the kingdom. You may be interested in your brahmacharya, right? You may want to become sannyasi or paramhamsa, but that's good. But the need here is you have to enter household life. Natasya kaschit tapasa vijaya, and he is quoting directly Supreme Lord. Because it is Supreme Lord's instruction, you cannot deny it. So even against one's own desires, one has to act according to one's the will of one's master. That is exemplified by Priyavrat, right? Now we will see several examples. Like Lakshman is there. When Kaikeyi told, Ram, you have to go out for Vanavas, my son will become king. And Ram happily agreed. He didn't feel disappointed or anything like that. Arre, tomorrow is my Pattabhishek and then they are saying I have to go to Vanavas. He never said like that. He's happy. But Lakshman became so angry. He just took his knife and then sword and then he wanted to attack. How can Bharat become king? Are you going to Vanavas? Whoever asked this desire, I'll just kill them. Like that, he becomes very angry. Then Ram comes and says, relax. Don't unnecessarily become angry. If you become angry, on whom will you become angry? Will you kill father? He is just bound by his words. Will you kill mother, Kaikeyi? She just communicated his words. Will you kill Bharat? He is very innocent. Whom will you kill? Put the sword down and then allow me to follow the dharma of a glorious son. And that is the mood of his master. Lakshman's master is Ram, and Ram is having this mood. Although it is not justified that I should go for Vanavas, but because it is my master's instruction, my father's instruction, I will follow. Right? And Lakshman is the servant of Ram, and Lakshman followed that mood of Ram. He silently, then you allow me also. TK, you come. This I can do. But I can't allow you to go and attack them. Like that. So he kept all his comforts aside and then followed Ram for Vanavas. That is Lakshman's alignment with the mood of Ram. Right? And Sita doubted him in Vanavas. Sita doubted him. And Ram chastised him later. Sita doubted and said, "Arey, you want to capture me or what? In the absence of Lord Ram. Okay, your plans will not work." So something like that, he kind of said some doubting words on Lakshman's character, although he's very pure. So he tolerated that. And he went out to search for Lord Ram. When Lord Ram went out to kill that deer, magic deer. Then later Lord Ram chastised him. "I ordered you to guard Sita. Why did you come out?" He said, Sita chastised, and he didn't give much details, but he said, "Sita chastised me." These are only words only. No? You could have tolerated these words, right? And then followed my instruction. Why you didn't follow? So he chastised him. And then he came back and then the whole thing happened. So although there was absolutely no fault on the side of Lakshman, Lakshman was just keeping quiet and then following whatever the master has said, right? And later, Sita told at the end of Ramayana, at the end of this whole Ravan killing episode, Ram was not accepting Sita, and Sita told Lakshman, "You should arrange some wood and all the things so that I can enter fire." So Lakshman did that. It was against his will. Then, after coming back to Ayodhya, Lord Ram told I am banishing Sita and you have to execute that instruction. Right? So Lakshman had to personally take mother Sita in the chariot and leave in the forests, although she was pregnant and he had to come back. You can understand how difficult it is, how much regard that Lakshman had for Sita and then as mother and all, but he had to personally banish her. Right? So he did all that. You see, in Ramayana, there is a long description. Lakshman had to faint every now and then, right, to execute that order. Right? And Sita didn't know all this. Sita thought that Lakshman was taking me to this Munipatnis and all, but Lakshman knew. He was just holding all that remorse, holding all that sorrow in his heart and then taking Sita there. So he had to be malleable by the instructions of Lord Ram. Whatever he wants me to do, I will do. Although I am not convinced about doing it. Like that. Sita, after she knew that Lord Ram banished me and then for I am totally innocent, she knew I am pure. But she agreed. Now, another example for Ramayana, from Ramayana, Urmila. So Lakshman was not banished. Lakshman was not sent to Vanavas. He was not ordered to go for Vanavas. But he chose to go for Vanavas. And then Urmila, wife of Lakshman, she was asked to just sleep. You sleep for 14 years, right? I will go for Vanavas. So Urmila agreed to that proposal. Urmila became malleable to the will of her master, Lakshman. Okay? Why you have to go? What will happen to me? She didn't ask all that. Okay, I agree. Your mentality is correct. You want to serve your master. I want to serve you, your will. I'll sleep. That is Lakshman. Bharat, he was totally against Lord Ram going to Vanavas. He wanted to convince Lord Ram and bring him back to Ayodhya. But Ram did not agree. So Bharat said, okay, I agree. You have set in mood. Although our father died and although the boons that he has given to Kaikeyi were not valid and they were not very glorious, they are unjust. Still, you want to follow them? Follow them. I will rule the kingdom on your behalf as your servant. Against his will, he had to take up that position as a king for 14 years. He followed. Shatrughna, he followed the mood of Bharat. He is a servant of Bharat. Right? Bharat's mood is to always be in the company of Lord Ram and serve him. So Shatrughna once killed Lavanasur in Madhuvan, right? And someone has to go there and then rule the kingdom there. Right? Shatrughna volunteered. I will go there and then rule. So that Bharat would get the association of Lord Ramachandra. Right? So to understanding what pleases his master, so Shatrughna voluntarily chose this service and he was perpetually in separation from Lord Ram. Right? So we see several examples from Ramayana only that many personalities are understanding the mood of their master and then sacrificing their own comforts and opinions to facilitate the desires of their masters. That is the glory of being a servant. Right? They never exhibited Bhagavat Pratikula Shila. They are always exhibiting Bhagavat Anukula Shila. Right? Masters, Swami Anukula Shila, they are always exhibiting. Right? So, many times, basically, servant means he has to be malleable with the mood swings of the master. Masters may change priorities. Okay? Now this is priority, now that is priority, now that is priority, he will change. Servant also has to be malleable with that change. Right? Sometimes master will chastise for no reason. Sometimes master will glorify for no reason. All that glorification and gallification, my servant has to accept. There is no thing. But ultimately, this has to be done with a conviction that my master wants my welfare only. Lalane bahavo dosha tadane bahavo guna tasmat putram cha shishyam cha tadayet natu lalayet. By chastising someone, he will develop his good qualities. And by glorifying someone, he will develop bad qualities, right? That's why a guru or a father or a spiritual master would always chastise the disciple and not glorify him so much, right? This is Chandika Pandit says, right? It's very uncomfortable for the ego to receive chastisement on a constant basis, but that is very purifying to the soul. If only one has the mood of surrendering to his master, right? So surrendering to one's master requires sacrificing one's personal opinion and priorities, right? So Prithu Maharaj sacrificed his personal opinion. That was the 100th sacrifice he did. He did only 99 sacrifice. Then Brahmaji comes and Vishnu comes. He said, 99 is enough. You don't need 3 digit. 2 digit, be satisfied. Right? Let Indra have the glory of the performer of 100 sacrifices. You be satisfied with 99. Prithu Maharaj said, okay, fine. If you want me to do it, I will do it. Right? So, this is very important principle in one's devotional service. So one cannot expect the master to behave according to the servant's logic, but the servant has to behave according to master's logic, although he may have his own logic, right? So the servant has to follow, although he doesn't understand. Many times master doesn't have time to explain things, but he wants some things, so he has to execute them, right? So if one does not align to the will of the master, so master may not push the servant, but he will just shift the service to someone else. Ultimately, this servant will lose the opportunity to render some service to the master. Service will go on. So like that, as much as possible, one has to align himself with the will or the expectations of the master and then continue service like that. And master means which master? Krishna is the master of everyone, as we discussed earlier. So Krishna is the master of everyone. Is it only Krishna or his representatives also? So personalities who are representing Krishna are also the masters, right? Personalities who are representing Krishna means Guru Parampara, Guru, and Guru's representatives, all are masters. Ultimately, we just have to make sure that we are connected to a bona fide line. He is my immediate master. He is connected with a big line which is ultimately leading to Krishna or not. That much you make sure. Sufficient. Right? You can just surrender to that one personality. Like that. No Pandavas are there. What is that verse? Saradhya Parishad Sevana Sakhya Dautya Virasananu Gamanastavana Pranaman Snigdheshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatimcha Vishnor. So the Pandavas' malleability with the will of the Lord is very much emphasized. Snigdheshu. So all the Pandavas are malleable to the will of Krishna. They are glorious. Okay? They are malleable to the will of their master. But within the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj is the master of other four. Right? There is a top authority and there is an intermediate authority also for them. This Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira is going to gambling match and then putting Arjuna in at stake or whatever. Arjuna or Draupadi or everyone. So Bhima, they are all against. They don't approve. Wholeheartedly, none of the Pandavas approved what Yudhishthira Maharaj did, but they kept quiet. Right? They agreed, they accepted whatever Yudhishthira Maharaj has did. You have the full authority to put me in the gambling match and lose me also. We surrender unto you. They didn't say, we'll surrender unto Krishna only, not to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? Krishna, if they want to put us in gambling match, okay, that's fine. How can you put me? They never said like that. So, surrender to one's immediate superior is also emphasized very much. And point here is, what if the master is imperfect? Yudhishthira Maharaj is an example. So, the act that he was doing, the way he is handling or utilizing his subordinates is not proper in an ideal sense. But they surrendered. Because ultimately Yudhishthira Maharaj took shelter of Krishna only. Even though his action was imperfect temporarily, ultimately it is beneficial for all the other Pandavas. Like that. So even if the master sometimes becomes imperfect, by following that master, who is ultimately connected to a bona fide line, one will develop humility. Submissiveness, surrender, selflessness. At least to practice that quality, it is very much needed. Right? Same example of Dasarath Maharaj. He may not be very correct in the opinion of everyone. Okay, just because to fulfill the boons that he has given to his wife, how can he order Lord Ram to go for Vanvas? People may question Dasharatha Maharaj, but everyone questioned like that. Entire Ayodhya questioned like that, but Lord Ram never questioned. My father, whatever he wants me to do, I will do. Right? That is his surrender to the will of his master. And sometimes we may get into this accomplishment mode, right? Sometimes one may think that I can do better things in life than being a menial and doing some apparently insignificant task according to my master's plan. Master may assign an insignificant service to a very qualified servant who may have so many other skills, right? Yeah, it's not a wrong thing to utilize one's time effectively by studying Shastra or hearing classes or memorizing shlokas or learning mridanga, musical instruments and other things. That is fine. So one may have one's own plans for conducting one's devotional life, and all those desires may be within the realm of pure devotional service also. But they have to be done under the recommendation or at least the approval or permission of the master, or otherwise that could be shramayeva hi kevalam. So one may not accomplish some great things or great goals by following some instructions of master, right? Or one may accomplish so many great things by using his self-management or time management skills. But the greatest accomplishment is to develop the quality of submissiveness and surrender to the will of a bona fide master. What can be better accomplishment than that? Right? Apparently, what a person is asked to do, what a servant is asked to do, may seem very insignificant. When we joined VTA, the first service that was given to me is you clean toilets. So I would go to office and then come back and then clean those 4 toilets and bathrooms there. Right? So, as far as skill set is concerned, one can do better things. But the service which is allocated may be very insignificant and very small. That anyone can do. Okay, you don't need a master's degree fellow from so-and-so university or whatever to clean toilets. Any sweeper can do. One may say like that. Right? But by accepting that apparently insignificant service, one will develop the mood of submissiveness and surrender. One will develop humility. For that aspect, at least one needs to follow against all logic, against all his skill set. Right? Ultimately, the conclusion of Bhagavatam is what? Kirtan, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And how can one chant the holy names of Krishna? Trinayadapi sunichayana, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadaharihi. Kirtaniya sadaharihi will happen by beginning with Trinayadapi sunichayana, humility. Right? So one will be able to exercise or develop that quality of humility by surrendering to the instructions of a superior, right, who is in a bona fide line. Although the task that is expected of that servant is not very logical, or he may not be very happy with that kind of service, that may happen. But surrendering to the will of a superior against one's own will, right, by doing that one will develop this humility and submissiveness, right? And ultimately that kind of simplicity and surrender and submissiveness will lead one to do kirtaniya sadahari. Achieve the conclusion of Bhagavatam, right? Why Trinayadapi is glorified so much? Being the most insignificant than the blade of grass. How can anyone imagine? You just go outside, that lawn is there. You just walk down. Grass will not say anything. Whatever you do, you trample on me, I don't mind. And one has to be humble more than that. My God, you can't just imagine, right? And that is the qualification. Being the most insignificant thing with absolutely zero protest or -1 protest, right? Absolutely no protest. That is the qualification for chanting Kirtaniya Sadaharihi, and that is the greatest accomplishment, right? Submissiveness and surrender is the greatest accomplishment, and that is achieved through doing some simple things that one is asked to do, right? And the opinion of a spiritual master has the greatest weightage, highest weightage, right? One may have, again, going to Ramayana, when Vibhishan came to surrender to Lord Ram, all the other monkeys and bears and other chiefs of the soldiers, chiefs in the army of Ram, They were having different opinions. But Lord Ram gave his final opinion. Even if Ravana comes now, I'll give him shelter. And all of them agreed. They had their own logics. They had their own opinions. They just kept aside all of them. What Lord Ram says, we will follow. Vibhishan, come inside. Welcome. Right? With a big hug. So all of them agreed. Right? So following the instructions or footsteps of a master should not be done out of grudge or mechanically. Okay, jo bola wo karo. Blindly just doing it. No. It should be done with full dedication and full conviction. This is ultimately for my welfare. So in the fourth canto, that popular analogy that Prabhupada gives, our desires for sense gratification are like ripples on a river that will never stop. Will the ripples on a river will ever stop? Similarly, our desires for sense gratification will never stop. But when the river meets the ocean, these insignificant ripples on the river will be overwhelmed by the huge tides of the ocean. They will overpower this. And the ripples will become insignificant and tides will take over. Similarly, when a disciple or a servant, right, when he aligns his life according to the will of the master with the plans of a pure devotee, all his sense gratificatory desires will disappear, right, and plans will become prominent and the servant will have the glory or the satisfaction of assisting the plans of a pure devotee, like that. One may say, what about my desires? After all, my desires are not like the ripples on the river, which are sense gratificatory. My desires are bona fide. They are within the realm of pure devotional service. Okay, is it wrong to develop a desire to, say, play mridanga or to memorize all shlokas in Bhagavad Gita? Okay, or to hear every day, right, some classes? So, it's not wrong, definitely. As long as our desires are within the realm of pure devotional service, they are devotional desires, then it is not wrong. And ultimately, we can judge ourselves with what attitude am I desiring this. I am desiring to learn, say, kartal or mridanga or harmonium, to just become a big kirtane and attract people, or to glorify the Lord. That is one's own judgment. But if the desire is within the realm of pure devotional service also, one has to give priority to what is told to him by the master, spiritual master. Right, that is first priority, and all my devotional desires also, they could take the second priority. Gauram Prabhu often says, I want to become a scholar, I want to study Shastra deeply, and Maharaj tells me that I have to go into kitchen or construction, like that. Whatever Maharaj wants. So Gauram Prabhu often said this. Right, so one's desire may be glorious, one's desire may be bona fide, still, if spiritual master is expecting something else, one has to give priority to that. And one may fulfill his desires within the gaps that he gets, right, while executing spiritual master service. That is the main theme. Okay, as a sub-theme, you can insert your things if there is some gap. And if one is so overwhelmed by his desire, he can always go and honestly express, my dear master, I mean, what the service you have given me is fine, but my heart is just pulling me towards this direction. So what to do? Then under approval, one can fulfill one's own desires. That's not a problem. But problem is when we do diplomacy. When we diplomatically find time or cut corners to fulfill our own desires and keeping aside the main plans, main instructions of the master, spiritual master. Like that. So diplomacy is not very good. Actually, in our VTA, Gauram Prabhu used to tell us, when you are working in your companies and offices, you should work very hard. Right? Even in the outside world, your immediate boss is there in the office, you should surrender unto his will also. You should work very hard also. There also, you should be submissive to him also. Because if one doesn't do that there, even in devotional circles also, he will bring the same habits. Right? One doesn't have the habit of working hard in the outside world, even when he comes into the community of devotees also, he wouldn't work hard for devotees or Krishna service, or he would also cut corners there, or he would be diplomatic in the dealings, like that. Definitely diplomacy has its role to play in devotional service also. We have Sanatan Goswami, an example, right? We have other Goswamis, and we have Vasudev. dealing diplomatically with this fellow Kamsa, right? Diplomacy has its role to play, but an immature devotee, a neophyte devotee, if he immaturely applies diplomacy, the clear distinction between his dealings with materialists and spiritualists will disappear. A pure devotee, he may be sometimes diplomatic with materialistic people, but when it comes to Krishna and his devotees, he's totally transparent. Right? That is the nature of a pure devotee. But a neophyte devotee, if he artificially tries to be diplomatic, then he will not be able to do a proper job. He will be duplicitous even in the association of devotees also. Like that. So, yeah, these are few thoughts I had. And one more nice point from this verse purport is, once being close to the master might induce pride. Actually, this Jaya and Vijaya were stopping, four Kumaras. They thought that these kids were proud of their Brahmagan. They think that they are qualified to enter Vaikuntha. They felt like that. So that we can take one lesson from there, that our closeness to a master, spiritual master or some superior authority, that might induce a pride in us, and that might make us minimize the position of other devotees who may not have that direct access. That's another important lesson. So Lakshman was very close to Ram, and then he was very affectionate to Lord Ram, but because of that close affection or whatever, he doubted Bharat. Sita was very affectionate to Lord Ram. Because of that affection, Sita doubted Lakshman. Right? Sugriva made a lot of friendship with Ram. Right? And Sugriva thought that, I have made friendship with Lord Ram, and I am equal to Lord Ram, and I need not respect his servant Lakshman. And he didn't offer him a seat. So Lord Ram can tolerate unlimited offenses done to him, and he can forgive, but he will not forgive a person who offends his devotee. Whether Lakshman offends Bharat, or Sita offends Lakshman, or Sugriva offends Lakshman, Lord Ram has to give punishment to all these three people. You know what are the punishments, right? We need not discuss that. So, to conclude, ultimately at the end of one's life, one may not have accomplished so many things. He may not have become a big preacher, or kirtaniya, or kathakar, or kalakar, or whatever. He may not have accomplished big, big things. But at the end of life, if he has the satisfaction that I have unpretentiously followed the instructions of my authority, then that is sufficient. At least that is his glory. So that takes more priority than accomplishing many other things in one's life. So these are a few thoughts. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.